Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again, and thanks for joining me for part two of our stay-at-home worship podcast for my meditation on the scriptures for July 19th, 2020, entitled In the Weeds, based on our readings from Matthew 13, 24 to 30, and 36 to 43, and Romans 8, 12 to 25. You may know that I used to be a chef. And restaurant folks, both front and back of house, have a favorite expression for being overwhelmed with work. In the weeds. Oh man, I'm working like 10 two-tops. I'm so in the weeds. Or, wow, she's really weeded. Can you go give her a hand, dude? In the weeds. I thought of that expression while meditating on this week's readings, and not just on the parable of the weeds and the wheat, in Paul's letter too, with his images of suffering and bondage and decay, talk about feeling overwhelmed. And that's something many of us are feeling these days. Though I note, as a line cook in a busy Manhattan restaurant, being in the weeds usually meant being so busy you could barely think about the dread in the pit of your stomach. Being in the weeds now is kind of the opposite. We only wish we were too busy to think. Or we seek out busyness, work, family, all this pandemic baking that's allegedly happening. Because many of us aren't busy with the things we're used to being busy with. Often the things that give structure and stability to our lives. The things we have defined ourselves by. And as we try to figure out the present, we can't even imagine what the future holds. Because even as New York starts to reopen, we know what's happening in the rest of the country. And it makes me nervous, that's for sure. And so we struggle. As runner and Second Presbyterian Deacon Gordon put it so well, it's not a sprint we're running, but it's not a marathon either, because when you run a marathon, you know where the finish line is. The finish line of this pandemic and all it has brought with it and unleashed, we have no idea. Now, the farmer in the parable Jesus tells urges his workers to be patient. In gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. Don't be in a hurry to uproot those nasty weeds, because it can be hard to tell what's what. And in fact, what Matthew was probably referring to is something called darnel, a weed that looks a lot like wheat. The thing about darnel is that, unlike, say, dandelions, it's not just annoying, but it can be toxic. And it isn't until the plant is fully grown that it's possible to distinguish it from wheat plants. So that sounds bad. But right at this moment in time, at least, I agree with David Loess, who has written, at heart, this parable isn't about the nature of evil. Rather, he says, I think this parable is about ambiguity. Yes, the sower planted with good seeds. Yes, there are now weeds strewn among the wheat that puts the ideal harvest the sower had imagined at risk. Ideally, the servants could just rip out the weeds, but the sower knows that to tear out the weeds now risks ruining the maturing wheat as well. And so the sower must wait, living with both the wheat and the weeds, until the day of harvest, when they may be separated. The servants must wait too, living with the weeds and the wheat. And that's where I find myself. In a place of profound ambiguity, uncertainty, confusion, overwhelmingness, however you describe it, a place of uncomfortable waiting, unknowing waiting, in the weeds and in the wheat. And it's one thing to look around and see the identifiable wheat. That's quite easy, thanks be to God. There is so much to be grateful for, even now, especially now. The incredible sacrifice of so many healthcare workers and other essential workers, delivery folks and letter carriers, MTA personnel and cleaning crews and building workers, and the list is long of people who are still putting themselves at risk every day, some because they choose to, some because they have no choice and yet still give their all. I'm pretty sure they're wheat. There are lots of weedy things. In fact, the kindness of helpful neighbors, families getting to spend time together in ways they haven't for a long time, if ever. The time to learn new skills, like a new language or how to attend the Zoom meeting. There are friendships rekindled. I've reconnected with at least one grade school friend. There's a profound new connection that I sense some of you are finding through our church Zoom gatherings, different as they are from what we're used to. And then there are the weeds that we can spot easily enough. We have only to watch the news or read the headlines to know who they are. It's always easy to spot the enemy, right? So I'm reminded that Russian author Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote of his time in a Soviet prison camp, "I came to realize that the line which separates good and evil passes not between states or between classes or between political parties, but right through every human heart. Even in hearts that are overwhelmed by evil, one small bridgehead of good is retained. And in the best of all hearts, there remains an unuprooted small corner of evil." We know that, I think. It's why we offer a prayer of confession every Sunday. So, by the way, I hope you do look at the order of worship I send out every week. But a simple, "Lord, have mercy," will always suffice. We know we struggle. We know we are caught up in systems we participate in, even as we strive to extricate ourselves. We know sometimes we just screw up. We know, we already know that sometimes the weeds look like the wheat, and sometimes the wheat looks like weeds, and sometimes both look like us. And so here we are in the field, without a clue. I feel planted in ambiguity for so many reasons. Now, I'm feeling pretty good physically right now, recent health events notwithstanding, but the thing is, my recent illness was probably a side effect of a drug that is controlling another illness. So I want to know, wheat or weed? Be patient, my doctor says. We have to wait and see. I want to know what the next several months are going to look like at this church, and where I'm, when I might be able to think about what my next steps will be. I want to know when we can start safely holding actual in-person worship services, and when this damn pandemic will pass, and what the future will look like for all of us. But in fact, I can't know any of that. What do you want to know? Mary Hinkle Shore, writing on our Romans passage, says, "One of the causes of suffering for those who have received the spirit of adoption," that's us, that is, and many others, though we don't always know who, "One of the causes," she says, "of suffering for those who have received the spirit of adoption is that the spirit has given us reason to hope for more than we can see. The definition of suffering will be broadened later to include anything that separates us, threatens to separate us from God's love. But for now, the suffering Paul speaks of is suffering that comes from knowing what the world could be, even as we live in the world as it is. Now, let me be clear. I'm not complaining that I'm suffering. I have it easy. But many people are really suffering right now. And globally, as humans, globally, as the created world, it does feel like the whole creation is groaning in pain. And I pray that there are labor pains leading to new birth. But suffering is not a good thing. It's nothing to be embraced or glorified. But if we suffer by our deep, spirit-inspired refusal to accept things as they are and our longing for a better way, then that suffering can give us hope. Though Paul asserts, if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Well, you got that partly right, Paul. We're certainly waiting for what we do not see and hoping for it, but patiently? It's maybe the most frequent thing that comes up in our prayer gatherings, right? The prayer for patience for ourselves and others. We live in the world as it is, a world of weeds and wheat. A world that holds real evil and true grace, and so much uncertainty that it can overwhelm us, terrify us, paralyze us, and even make us lose hope. And I would really, really like for God to just pull up the weeds now. The weeds around me, the weediness in me. Throw it out, Lord. Burn it up with a refining, purifying fire. Just do it. But apparently, that's not how it works. Apparently, even as we eagerly long for a better world, we do need patience. Patience for the work of tending the plants, even if we're not sure what they are, and discerning our own weediness, and giving the wheat a chance to grow. Because in the end, weed or wheat is God's call, not ours. Meanwhile, this weedy, weedy world is where we live. It's where we hang our hats or our face masks these days. And I bet God has something to teach us through the long wait for the harvest. Maybe that we can trust God to cultivate and tend God's field, the world, and all who dwell in it, with love as well as diligence. That God will not let what is good and true and faithful out in the world or within us come to grief, but will give us all a chance to reveal ourselves as wheat among the weeds. Let anyone with ears listen. Listen and give thanks to God, whose steadfast love is everlasting. Amen.